gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A beautiful fall day out there. Wonderful weekend, actually. I know you're going to think I'm a little weird, but this would be, if it wasn't for the wind, and if you're not affected by wind where you're listening to this program from, this would be a great day to be on the water. Absolutely outstanding fall fishing right now. But anyways, you're too busy listening to this program. Why am I even saying that? Angelo Viola here, Stephen Labadie over there, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis on the board. And we will walk you through this wonderful, as I said, wonderful fall weekend. A great program we have on today, as usual. Some really interesting things. I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, we need to mention, Stephen.
Yes.
I need your help on this one.
Uh-oh.
So, I'm going to say 3 weeks ago.
Can you remember what I did yesterday?
Good luck with that one, right? Remember, we said that we were going to introduce to the Mercury 9.9 contest that we've got going now, which is in week or month seven as we speak.
Yes.
That we were going to add a little bonus.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Because you caught me off guard as well.
Right. A little bonus. And I said we were going to throw in a Garmin 8400 top of the line unit. In as a bonus for people who have the most ballots in the box.
Yes.
So what I was proposing, and I'm saying was in past tense because I no longer am proposing this, but what I was proposing that we do is to sort of, you know, encourage people to continue. Like, nobody's out of the game. That was my idea. My idea was nobody's out of the game.
Yeah.
So what I was going to do is the person who has the most ballots in the box was going to win something nice. But I was going to have bonus entries and had not announced how I was going to do the bonus entries for this. But, we were going to put something on the site that folks could go in and find and then get extra ballots for the box, like 10 extra ballots a day or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something funky. Just in order to, I don't know, spruce it up a bit. I thought it'd be kind of fun. Well, guess what?
What?
I guess not.
Oh.
People don't like that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We got some emails.
Yeah. So we're going to change it up again. We're not going to do that. We are not going to give away a beautiful Garmin 8400 GPS chart unit.
I'll take the Garmin.
You and I are going to split it. Sounds we're going to hawk it at a flea market somewhere and have at it. You know?
Perfect.
No. What we are going to do, we're going to have a separate standalone.
Yes.
A totally separate standalone contest immediately following the Merc 9.9 giveaway, which will be the last one will be on the 15th of December.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's slowly. Quickly.
Early Christmas
approaching.
Gift. Yeah.
But anyways, so look for that. It will, as soon as the Merc giveaway is done, we are going to immediately start another one. And guess what? For all of you whiners, all of you complainers, all of you saying, I don't like it. Guess what? We're going to start from zero.
Look at that. We're only giving one away, right?
Just one.
Look at that.
We're going to start from zero. So no accumulated bonus draw ballots for anybody. We all start equal. That's the way we are here at ODJ Radio. Okay? Did I make myself perfectly clear on that whole thing?
Let's hope. We'll get a couple
I'm
emails.
Sure we'll get some complaints about that. So anyways, I was saying there's two motors left.
Yes.
One coming up on the 15th of November and then the last one on the 15th of December. You go to fishingcanada.com, enter to win the contest button. And by the way, another thing we're going to do in the weeks to come you'll have to, it won't be quite as easy to find a contest button. Towards the end, we're going to hide the contest button on you. How's that? I'm having fun with this.
Oh, my God.
But anyways, we'll get into that later on. But anyways, right now you can go to fishcanada.com, and right there on the landing page, you'll see the big contest information. Go on the contest landing page. Enter, 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 enter. Every 24 hours, enter and enter again. More ballots in the box, better your chances of winning one of the two remaining Mercury 9.9 four-stroke engines.
Could be yours.
Could be yours. So here we go in the news. The headline is, a fed bear is a dead bear.
Oh.
Do you know what that means?
If you feed it human food, it's dead?
Well, yeah. Well, if you feed them, it could lead to them, you know. Oh. And the case in point here, conservation officers in Penticton, British Columbia, had to put away five black bears that had been feeding on residential garbage in the city. The five bears were traveling together as a pack, which is very unusual for bears. There was three males and two females, and they just don't like hanging out together. They're very territorial. So for this to be a pack, it might have been a family. Could have been. Who knows? Nobody really knows. Anyways, the speculation is that there was so much food available to them that the group of bears became very social and fearless. And they figured we can hang out together because there's more food to go around than we can even eat.
Social club.
And yeah. So anyway, so they had to dispatch the bears, which is unfortunate. And I say, you know, the whole point of bringing this whole thing up, you can't feed bears. Yeah. And you can't feed wild animals. And as much as it's nice and cute, and I know we all have bird feeders in the backyard and all that stuff, and but feeding wild animals is not a good idea. It's well-intentioned by most people, but what happens is that they become accustomed to that. And once they become accustomed to that, in the case of bird feeders, by the way, I'm an anti right now. I'm subject to change on this. I know Winter's going to Winter's going to talk to me about birds here later on the program.
Hummingbirds.
But as of right now, I'm not sure I really dig the whole notion of having bird feeders. And the reason being is that most people who start putting these things out are well-intentioned and they maintain them. Mm-hmm. But some people don't. Some people just want to try them. So they feed birds for a period of time during the winter, get them acclimatized to having free food,
yeah.
And then they stop putting food in the feeder, and then the bird is euchred or something along those lines. Anyways, that's my opinion. I definitely don't feed bears, though, because they get shot and killed. How far will a great white shark travel, in your opinion, Stephen?
Far? I have no clue.
No, but you must have an idea. How far, like, you know, think in terms of distance. You know, how far would a great white travel from its home range?
I'm going to say 2,000 kilometers. I don't know.
That'd be a pretty, that's a huge swath of water to go through.
Wow. It's a big body of water we have.
Yeah. Well, a female great white shark weighing 2,000, now I don't know how they got all of these specs other than they must have caught her at some point and weighed her and measured her. Because the story is a female great white shark weighing 2,076 pounds. So that's a ton of
fish.
That's
huge.
15 feet, 5 inches in length, was tagged off of Cape Breton in September, where Nick and I were fishing for stripers.
Imagine
recently.
Catching that thing.
Well, they do. They have great whites there all the time. And one of the problems at certain times of year is when you're fighting stripers to the boat, great whites come and eat everything off your line.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyways, so a female great white shark weighing a ton, 15 and a half feet in length, tagged off of Cape Breton in September, just a few weeks ago, right? Well, by October 12th, her radio transmitter indicated that she was headed south and near Myrtle Beach.
Oh, my gosh.
Myrtle Beach. This week, she is near the Florida Keys. So your 2,000 was off by about 2,000.
Yeah, basically.
So far, the shark has logged 4,000 kilometers in less than a month. That's insanity.
Imagine having a Fitbit on.
And
that one.
Why would she be heading down there? Any ideas?
Vacation?
Well, you would think November, right? Yeah. It's starting to get chilly up here. Let's head south.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not it. Scientists speculate that she's headed there because there's a birthing site just past the Keys that the great whites use.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 4,000 kilometers and counting. On the program today, Tom Irwin. Did I say Irwin?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Irwin Toys. Tom Irwin of Irwin Adventure Tours from Calabogie, about 50 kilometers west of Ottawa, will be joining us. The Irwin family has a long history as Canadian motorcycle champions and motorcycle racers, and more recently started a business for guided off-road motorcycle riders, which I think is fascinating.
That's pretty cool.
As well as ATV and snowmobile excursions, and Tom will be joining us shortly to talk about that. Have you, you live in a trailer, right?
I don't live in a trailer. Oh. Come on now. Only in the summer months I go up north and chill.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought. Well, it's close enough. You live in a trailer at some point.
During the summer, a little bit?
Well, you know, we talked last week, or the end of week before, I believe, about cottage rental. How do you find a cottage for rent, and who rents their cottages? You buy a cottage, you really want to rent it, people damage, like all that stuff, right? Well, this week, we're going to talk about RV rentals.
Oh.
Yeah. What if you want to rent an RV? Like, where do you go? And what if you own an RV, but you don't, obviously, you don't use it all year round, but you might want to make a couple of bucks, pay the mortgage down on it. How do you get it rented out? Well, there's a company called RVZ. RVZ.
That's pretty cool.
Why you laugh at that?
RVZ. It's that easy.
RVZ. And it's basically Airbnb for the RV world.
It's cool.
Here in Canada. Michael McNaught will join us to talk to us about that venture. He did a pitch on the Dragon's Den recently with this RVZ.
Oh.
So I'm curious to see how that went. Last week, we mentioned the story out of Guelph about an 11-year-old boy, Jamie Taylor, who skipped school a few times and got caught and, you know, was sent to the Guelph Outdoor School. And I said to whoever would listen to me, we should have somebody on the show to talk about that, because I thought it was fascinating. Well, lo and behold, this week we'll be joined by Chris Green, who will tell us about the school and the programs that they offer for kids who would rather be in the outdoors.
That's cool.
Kind of like me. That's what happened to me. You know that, right?
Yeah, you skipped school a lot. What was the teacher you had?
No, none.
None, sorry.
Sister Mary Roselia. Oh. Man, she was tough. Tough as a night in jail, that nun was. Never forget her. Anyways, so we'll be joined by the Guelph Outdoor School folks to talk to us about that wonderful program. In the span of 50 years, from 1970 to the present, billion birds have disappeared.
Oh, my goodness.
We now have many species that are on the trajectory for extinction if things don't change. Adam Smith specializes in bird population studies for the Canadian Wildlife Service. He'll be joining us a little later on today to talk to us about that concern that we should all have, and also what we can do. And actually, more importantly, I want to find out how they count. How do they know there's 3 billion birds missing?
Yeah.
That, to me, is a story in itself. If this weather is depressing you, you know, there are some good things that we can talk about this year with regards to, you know, rainy days and snow coming up, etc. We will be joined by Janice Thompson from Niagara Falls Tourism.
Very nice.
And she's going to talk to us about, now I know this personally because I have been doing this every evening, including last night, going for a hike in that type of weather.
You hike now?
I do.
Very nice.
Yeah, in that kind of weather. And I enjoy it tremendously. Anyway, she's going to talk to us about going hiking, walking, sightseeing along the Niagara Gorge this time of year. And then finish the day off at the Taste the Season, a very popular foodie event. Ooh. All that and a whole bunch more. Let's get a roll on. But first, a little behind-the-scenes look at this week's nationally televised Fishing Canada show on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast. Canada's most watched fishing program, outdoor program, television program, period. On this week's episode, my co-host, Mr. Bowman, and myself. Hey, that deserves a round of applause.
Another one, sorry.
Just because it was me. And myself. Thank you, Stephen.
And I.
Returned to visit what may be the best small walleye lake in the world. That's right. We're back to Hawk Lake in northwestern Ontario. And again, we're catching giants.
Huge.
Giant. Huge.
It's huge.
It's huge. If you want to see giant, if you don't want to see giant walleye, do not turn on a global television right now. If you do not want to see giant walleye, do not. This is a warning. However, if you do, check it out. It's a great episode. It's called The Giants of Hawk Lake, and it's airing right now, but you're probably listening to this program. So
go to www.fishingcanada.com, click on episode schedule, the next broadcast date right there, or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
The Giants of Hawk Lake, and while you're there on fishingcanada.com checking that out, don't forget, Mercury 9.9 giveaway. There's only two left.
Yes.
Get those ballots in there. More journal after this on Shadurga Way.